Well, I would say at least 3 to 4 times more than what I'm being paid.
Oh my! 3 to 4 times?
3 to 4 times more than what I'm being paid.
So do you feel underpaid?
Oh yeah, I feel underpaid.
Living in Malaysia while earning USD, that's the dream for many Malaysians. Well, more importantly, how does it work and how can you land yourself such opportunity? Well, today we're going to get all this answered because in this studio here, we have a guest and he is living that life. So, Samuel, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hey, hi guys. My name is Samuel David and I work as an accountant living in Malaysia but earning USD.
So, Samuel, is this your first job actually?
No, this is not my first job. This is my fourth job. Yeah.
And how did you come across this opportunity to end up working for a foreign company while still living in Malaysia?
On the job that I had right before this one, I made a decision to leave that job. Because the company wasn't very into technology lah, and I am quite a big supporter of technology. So I feel like it's quite redundant to do work when the work can be automated. And so I decided to leave that company and try to apply for jobs within that field lah. That's where the opportunity came by.
Right. So how do you stumble across this opportunity to work for a foreign company?
Okay, so this opportunity was actually came by because I was very desperate lah. So I had left that job, which was a good job in a very nice company, amazing boss. So I just left because I wasn't very very happy, and I desperately needed work because I left without any job in line. And so what I did was I started sending out my resumes to accounting firms in Singapore first. So I started sending out my resumes to a whole bunch of accounting firms in Singapore. And I also sent out my resumes to a couple of friends of mine, right? Which are influencers in the accounting space. One was based in America and another one was based in Australia. And so one of the influencers actually got back to me. And she said, look, she had a friend which was looking for somebody that had my skill set lah. So she connected me with a friend and that's how I got my job.
Are you happy with what you're doing right now?
Well, I'm extremely happy with what I'm doing. I love it.
Right. Why are you so happy actually?
Well,
compared to working with a Malaysian company, right?
Okay.
What's so different and what makes it so happy for you?
To start with, it aligns with my personal goals. As in, because labor is so expensive in Australia, there is a huge demand for technology adoption, and that gives me the opportunity to work effectively with technology to the extent that I would like to. So there's no restrictions really on what technology I can use and I can't use to solve a specific problem. It's quite open. So it's the first reason. The second reason is more of a personal reason. I really enjoy the amount of excess time that it gives me, right? I get a lot more time to spend with my family and my friends and to pursue other interests.
Right. Yeah. And for yourself, right, I was wondering, because you came from a working background in the past,
yes,
and it means that you had colleagues and everything all.
Yes.
And part of a big part about work is actually social life, right?
Yes.
And now that you're working remote,
yes,
how do you actually build that relationship with people that you work with?
With my work colleagues, there's not really much of a relationship lah. But in turn, my relationship with my wife and my kids has definitely improved significantly lah. So they are my colleagues at the moment. My daughter.
Yeah, your office mates.
My office mates lah. You have my 4-year-old daughter running in early morning 3-4 times, telling me what she's doing, giving me constant updates.
Right.
That's my social life.
Right. Now, since you work under two different kind of bosses, right? Yes. And this is definitely different from if you're working for a foreigner boss, expat boss, yes, in a Malaysia company.
Yes.
Yeah, this is literally all your colleagues are overseas.
Yes.
You are here.
Yes.
What do you see is a significant difference in terms of culture when you work with a foreign company versus, and you're alone here without any Malaysian teammates?
I mean, in terms of culture, I feel like it has got a lot to do with the company that's employing me. They themselves have a really good culture. They respect their employees. They treat us with respect. They respect our time. They really try to give us the opportunities that we are looking for, as opposed to using us to fill voids in their company, which is something I really, really value.
So there's no such thing as like sending you messages at 10 o'clock at night?
Oh, no, no.
That kind of thing. Like
no, I go off Slack at 4.
Oh, wow. Then done.
Done.
That's all.
Done.
See you. Bye-bye.
See you. Bye-bye. They don't want to hear from me. I don't want to hear from them. Until the next morning lah.
So do you need to follow the Australian timing?
Yes.
Since there's a time difference, right?
Yeah, so the company that I'm working for is based in Australia. Yeah, so I do follow the Australian timing. I wake up at 7 in the morning and my time ends at 4 p.m.
You did mention a part just now. Actually, you're not just earning from this one company, right?
Yes.
Because with the excess time, it allows you to pursue other hobbies and so on. And yeah. That allowed you to actually increase your source of income.
Yes.
So
yes.
Can you share with us, like, what are other sources of income that you actually have from foreign countries?
So in essence, when I did the SCCA program at Malaysian universities, I failed quite a lot, okay? So I thought, okay, let me try to find lecturers from outside Malaysia, which is where I stumbled upon a group of lecturers from the UK. I started doing the courses with them and I started to pass the courses. One of the courses that I did, I subscribed to the premium version, the platinum course, right? And I had an opportunity to have monthly meetings with the lecturer. And I built rapport with the lecturer and he was very comfortable with me. And at the end of the course, he actually asked me to come on board and help as a student helper to assist him with tasks that he had in relation to the students. This is something that I also sort of do on the side. Just takes me a couple hours a month. Yeah, I get paid pretty well for that as well.
You mind sharing what's pretty well?
Pretty well, ranging from about 300 to 500 pounds a month.
Wow, that's an extra of 3,000 ringgit. A month, right?
More or less, on a good month.
How much of effort or time do you need to spend on such part-time gigs?
So I've been doing it for 2 years. And in the 2 years that I was doing it, I've been really focused. I've been trying my best to do it to the best of my ability. And so I've been able to reduce the time drastically from about 25-30 hours a week to about 10 hours now it takes me to do it. Yeah.
Having said that, right, usually when we work for a company, there's also fringe benefits like transport allowance, phone allowance and all those. When you work for a foreign company like that, right, do you get any other benefit aside from salary?
No. But I do get 21 days annual leave, which is enough for me. I'm good with that. Give me 21 days annual leave over benefits, right. I'm happy.
I think in the Malaysia setting, generally when we work for companies and in order for us to progress, there's less emphasis on work-life balance in a sense.
Yes.
I think mainly also because the currency that we have is actually much more lower. So there's a huge need to actually squeeze more out of it in order to pay the staff more, right?
Yes, definitely.
Which is a philosophy here in Mr. Money TV.
Yes.
We actually tell our staff that you have to work more because in order for me to earn more and pay you more, we got to work more. But we are very transparent about how much are we earning, and I hope all our staff are pretty happy about it. I did a video about it. You guys can watch it as well. So, Samuel, what do you do for the company that you're currently working for?
The term for my scope of work is I'm a cloud integrator, to where I connect different pieces of SaaS together to make sure that my financial reports come out in a way which is automatic.
I see. So basically, you're doing kind of like semi-tech, semi-accounting kind of thing.
Yeah, semi-tech, semi-accounting.
Right, or more like tech accounting in that sense, right?
Yeah.
My question is this, because when you told me what you do, right, I thought to myself that actually it's quite high level. It's not some low level kind of stuff, right? It's not that easy. But the amount that you told me to pay you, in my mind, I think if I'm an Australian citizen, I will be paid a lot more.
Oh yeah, significantly more.
So usually what would the market rate if I'm an Australian citizen doing that kind of role?
Well, I would say at least 3 to 4 times more than what I'm being paid.
Oh my, 3 to 4 times?
3 to 4 times more than what I'm being paid. That is at the lower level.
And so do you feel underpaid?
Oh yeah, I feel underpaid. I definitely do feel underpaid.
How do you feel about that? How do you respond to it? Won't you like try to ask for a higher pay or whatnot?
I mean, for starters, I'm very grateful because of the amount of flexibility that it gives me. And the second thing is, I'm very grateful that I get the opportunity to work with different software and I have the opportunity to learn. So I think, and I'm earning enough to where I don't need to worry about trying to earn more at this point, but more to grow, to accumulate more knowledge so that, you know, possibly in the future, I do become more valuable to the company and they do end up paying me more, which is what I'm hoping for.
Going back to your living standards here, right? Since you're earning in USD and you have some different source of income coming from different countries, do you actually have a better lifestyle because of that? Does it make you feel like all the Malaysian things are actually cheaper? Because like now you see things USD, right?
Actually, I don't see things in USD. I see things in ringgit. I always do a like-for-like comparison. I mean, for me generally, I've been brought up in a very frugal household. I really value the amount of money that I spend just simply because that was how I was brought up. And so, I mean, the one thing that I do tend to spend excessively on is food, very, very high quality food. So I make sure that I buy proteins that are organic, vegetables that are organic, and just generally I spend more on high quality food. Like cook with more butter, animal fat instead of oils. Yeah, that's the one thing that I spend more money on.
Now, talking about money and how you spend it, right? What about planning, financial planning? In Malaysia, at least when we work here, we have EPF, right? Yeah. Where it covers your retirement planning. Since you're earning in foreign currency, how do you actually do that for yourself?
Well, I'm supposed to be allocating some money for an EPF contribution, but I haven't gotten around to doing it. But aside from that, what I do is I just try to be a little bit more frugal with my money, save a little bit more, and do a lot more research on potential investment opportunities. But the thing that I invest in the most at this point is myself. If there's something that I want to learn, right, I spend money to go for a course. If there's something that I want to do and it involves me traveling, I get on a plane or get on a bus and go for it and do it. And I don't really consider how much I spend for these things. I just put, if let's say I need to do it, I just go and do it, that kind of thing. So I spend a lot of money on myself.
Yeah, I think there's one philosophy that a lot of people have to understand, right? To know what makes you enjoy spending on, right? Yeah, because ultimately, if let's say you were to be spending just so that you can look good for other people or to prove yourself, or you know, you're not really certain about it, what happens is that you end up spending on every single thing. Yeah. But in your case, you know, it's quite clear. Yeah, I've known you for a while. I don't see you wearing like branded stuff and whatnot. But you're very willing to spend on traveling, on passes, and on learning, and food.
Food. And coffee.
That's also one thing I see you spend a lot on, right? Same thing with me, coffee as well. I spend a lot on it. Experiences is something that I'm willing to spend on. But I think for all of you out there, if you are thinking about how to manage your money better, that's something that is worth looking at. Now, back to the idea about retirement planning. Do you find that because you do not have an EPF, this mandatory kind of saving, does it make it harder for you to have saving for yourself?
So the way that I look at it is I'm very driven on creating opportunities for myself that will bring about rapid income in the future. So maybe starting a, I mean, my idea is like I'd like to start a business for myself. So what I tend to do is I tend to get very hung up on trying to validate ideas, business ideas. So I spend a lot of money on buying domains, trying to build websites, and just trying to validate things so that I have the opportunity to have a substantial return in the future, which is my frame of reference, because I believe that if I can build a successful company and a business, then I'll be able to earn significantly more in the future than if I put aside like small amounts of money now and keep it growing.
So at least you feel like the money that you're spending right now, although it's not for a lot of savings, but you are rather willing to spend it as an investment for opportunities in future.
Yes, calculated opportunities.
Having said that, talking about money still, right? Yeah, a lot of people are asking this question, right? If you're working for a foreign company, how do they pay you? Is there any flexibility for you to make arrangement in terms of like maybe a portion of my salary goes to certain other countries or I want you to pay me in maybe Malaysian ringgit straight away? Like, how does it go? How does this whole payment structure work?
One of the payment structures comes in directly in the foreign currency form. But the other payment structure sort of comes in ringgit. It doesn't come in the foreign form. And so it comes in sort of split, right? I get paid twice a month, once on the 15th and once on the 31st. And I can actually choose where that money goes, whether I want it to come into a Malaysian bank account or I want it to go to another bank account.
Right. So that's your choice.
My choice.
Right. So now this leads to the next question. Then what's the tax implication of it?
So, well, my responsibility as a Malaysian citizen would be I'd need to create a company, a sole prop like I've done, and I would need to record all the income that I've received from contract payments, and I'd need to declare it as tax payments at the end of the year.
Right. So the question, what if I'm a Malaysian, right?
Yep.
But my money is not coming into Malaysia, but I'm providing my service to another country's company and the money goes into another country per se. Let's say Singapore or Australia or UK or whatnot. Do I need to be taxed? Do I need to pay tax on that part?
I mean, that's more of an ethical question, Because if you're working in Malaysia and you're earning foreign currency, you should be paying tax in Malaysia. Yeah. So if the money goes somewhere else, then, I mean, there's no real way for it to be tracked. But, you know, it's not how it should be done, lah.
So actually, the tax should be based on your residency, right?
Should be based on the residency. Yeah.
So even though if you have a Singapore account or Australia account or whatnot, the money that directly transfer over there, you should also pay for the Malaysian tax in that sense.
Should be declared. Right? Yep.
Yeah, but within Australia itself, will they charge you? Well, because there are many Malaysians who actually study in Australia and maybe they have the opportunity to work in, stay in Malaysia. Yes. But however, the company that employed them is in Australia.
Yes.
Then they get the company bang in into an Australian account per se. Right? Yes. Will they get tax on both ends or how does it work?
So I'm not an employee of the company. So the company doesn't outright record or deduct my tax on the government's behalf.
I'm
a contractor. So the responsibility falls on me. So if the individual was working for an Australian company and they're employed, then they would, I mean, be legally required to submit their taxes and pay their taxes in Australia.
I've known a guy also. He's very smart. His work requires him to travel quite a lot. He earns in USD, but he's a Malaysian. So what happened is that his work trips, he'll make sure that he's out of Malaysia for how many days? I can't remember. There's a certain
make sure the work is done overseas before coming back.
That's right. Yeah. He makes sure that that happens. So his tax that he pays in Malaysia is quite minimal.
Yes.
And he runs a pretty big company.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So very smart man. But yeah, there's always a question about ethicality, right? Yes. Like where you at? But he makes sure that he's not even in Malaysia during that period. Okay, fair.
Fair. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the
good workaround.
That's his way of working it around. Now, having said that as well, who do you think remote working is for? Because I think remote working is not for everyone. No. There are some people who are remote workers, but they end up don't do their parts, or either they may feel very lonely because there's no colleagues and so on. So who do you think this is for?
I think one very important character that a person who wants to do remote work has to have is they have to be very highly self-disciplined, because it's very easy for the workload to pile up if you're not disciplined, and it's extremely easy to get overwhelmed with the work, especially when work comes in from like America or Australia or another part of the world, and you know the contact between you and your managers is going to take some time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if the work keeps piling up and you're not disciplined enough to work through it as soon as it comes in, then there's a build up. So that's one character trait that's very important for somebody that wants to do remote work. Yeah.
Yeah. I think you also need to be quite independent in terms of learning, right?
Yeah.
Because there's no one's going to be like hand-holding you straight away, right?
So for me, every time I get, get allowed access into a new software, I tear up all the learning materials that I can. I go through it myself. I read, I watch videos and as much as I can absorb.
Can you say that because of that, generally when a company hires a remote worker in Malaysia, they usually look for more senior people, people who have this quality of I don't need to guide you kind of thing.
Yeah.
Is that something that you observe as well among your other colleagues or people that you know who are in Malaysia?
So I feel like a lot of my colleagues, they have definitely accumulated a fair amount of experience, yes. I mean, there are also people that have traveled to these countries before. It's not like they were living in Malaysia and applied for jobs working in these countries. They've gone to those countries, they've worked there, they know the people, they know the culture. And
do you get bonus?
Yes, I do. I get a bonus.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, 1 month salary.
Oh, it's kind of like a mandatory bonus.
Bonus.
Yeah, performance bonus, anything like that, will they have that?
No. Performance bonus, no.
Are there other companies who give performance bonus for remote workers as well?
I'm not very certain, but I know that sales-based companies that hire remote workers definitely have incentives, incentives.
So for those of the people who are listening outside there, and if they are interested to actually get themselves a remote work to earn in USD while living in Malaysia, how do you think they can land themselves such an opportunity?
I had the opportunity to work with these companies because I had acquired the necessary skill set, right? So for me, I can say it was luck. Luck had quite a large proponent to play. Another thing would be to learn how to work with specific software that is used in these countries, right? Like the softwares that I work with are in high demand in Australia and also in America. And so that is the reason why these companies even bothered to hire me in the first place, right? Because when they saw my CV, they saw the names of these softwares pop up. So I definitely say having the opportunity to work with some of these softwares would be a valuable piece of experience to have to get jobs.
Oh, that's very smart, huh? Actually, it means you can actually see certain like software or whatnot that are more popular in overseas, in those countries that you all work in,
yeah.
and you get good at it,
yes.
and then you apply for jobs with other people, and then eventually they will recommend you for it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I remember a lot of software programmers also tell me the same thing.
Yes.
Like, if you want to work in, say, fintech, then maybe you should consider Ruby on Rails, because there's...
Yes.
That's a very specialized language for it.
Yes, yes, yeah. yes.
So this kind of stuff they were telling me.
Yes.
Yeah. So literally there's this guy.
Yes.
He learned programming on Ruby on Rails.
Wow.
And he just lands job in overseas. That's all. So although similar. It's not very common, Java is more common. If you want access entry, but he choose to go for that because it's so niche.
Yeah, yeah. So the demand was there. Yeah.
So it's kind of like what you did.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly like what I did, yeah.
So... In your case, it will be unplanned. You just happened to came across that,
It just
right?
happened to turn out this way.
Oh, yeah. It just happened to just turn happened out this way. So for planned. Those of you who are watching outside there, it can be a planned thing.
Yeah, it can be planned. Yeah, it can definitely be planned, yeah.
Yeah, but I hope they stay in Malaysia and bring the money back and pay tax. Huh?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Please. We support Malaysia Boleh.
So before we go, any last advice for those people out there who are thinking about living in Malaysia while earning in USD?
Well, I would say, just try. Just try applying for jobs overseas. You never know. And make friends with influencers and people that are in the industry that you're looking to find remote work in. Because that made a world of difference for me.
All right. Thank you very much, Samuel. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you want to apply for some sort of a remote work, Samuel, you have any tips on where to find it? Any website platform?
So I recently came across a very interesting group on Facebook. I think it's Remote Work Malaysia. And I've been following the discussions and the threads and the comments. And I find that there are quite a few people giving really valuable advice and also helping people get remote work on this Facebook group. So you guys can check it out.
Right. Thank you very much. See you guys next week.